Picture this. Late 1960s, you're in a helicopter skimming low over Laos. Suddenly, the air just erupts around you, intense anti-aircraft fire.
Yeah, like something straight out of those old, those really intense WWII movies. That's the kind of danger we're talking about.
Exactly. And today, we're diving deep into the story of Doc Padgett. He was a Special Forces medic, MACV SOG. We'll focus on Operation Tailwind, a real white-knuckle ride, and this completely unexpected meeting he had years later.
Right. Our main source for this deep dive is an interview Doc Padgett gave. It's on the YouTube channel Military Tales, and it's just a fascinating firsthand account. Really pulls back the curtain on MACV SOG.
SOG, that's the Studies and Observations Group.
Military Assistance Command, Vietnam Studies and Observations Group, yeah. Highly classified stuff. Their job was deep reconnaissance, unconventional warfare, going way behind enemy lines.
And Operation Tailwind was a big one.
Oh, huge. It was the deepest American penetration into Laos up to that point. The goal was hitting the Ho Chi Minh Trail, disrupting those supply lines. And, for you listening, if you want to quickly get a sense of the sheer intensity of these kinds of events, Padgett's story, powerful. Reminds me a bit of the scale and danger we talked about with the air war over Europe back in episode four.
Okay, yeah, good connection. So let's unpack how Doc Padgett even got into that helicopter in the first place. He was in teacher's college.
That's right. But he realized teaching, well, it wasn't really his path, and the draft was looming. So he thought, okay, if I'm going to be drafted, I want to be the absolute best soldier I can be.
That led him to Special Forces.
It did. He started researching, the elite units, Green Berets, this idea of unconventional guerrilla warfare. It really captured his interest.
So he was proactive about it.
Very. He went straight to a recruiter, specifically asking about Special Forces. But the recruiter's response was pretty classic Special Forces, actually.
What did he say?
Basically, you don't choose Special Forces, they choose you. All he could guarantee was a slot for jump school. Getting into SF depended entirely on passing their selection.
Which sounds intense, sort of like those bomber crews we discussed in episode four, needing that initial drive, but then facing a really tough selection process.
Exactly that kind of dynamic. And clearly, Padgett had what it took. He got through basic airborne advanced infantry training. And then, crucially, he was selected for special forces training.
And that's when he chose to be a medic.
When it came time to pick his specialty, he went for medic. And his reason, it wasn't just about the action. He said he wanted to, quote, do the most good for my country, make friends with the indigenous.
That's interesting. It's more than just being a soldier.
Absolutely. There's this desire to help to connect alongside the special forces role, kind of like those ground crews in episode four, vital, but also building connections in their own way.
So he arrives in Vietnam.
Right, with six other medics from his class. There was a chance they might get split up, sent to regular units. But thankfully, Special Forces Command stepped in and pulled them into the SF camps, the A teams.
And then he moved to the Mobile Strike Force.
Yeah, after some time with the A teams, he was recruited into the Mobile Strike Force, spent about 18 months there. Then he actually did a stint in Thailand for a year,
Doing what in Thailand?
running a dispensary way out in a remote area, training local indigenous people. So he built up this really diverse experience base.
All before volunteering for SOG.
Exactly. Each step seems to have added skills, perspective, leading him to volunteer for SOG, which was even more high stakes.
Which brings us back to Operation Tailwind and his role. You called it a chase medic.
Yeah, chase medic. That meant he was essentially on standby on the first bird, ready to go in for casualty evacuation the second a team made contact with the enemy.
High risk, definitely.
Immensely. Tailwind itself, it involved Laotian forces backed by the CIA moving on a town down south. SOG's job specifically, B Company from CCC, Command and Control Central, out of FOB2 was to block that Ho Chi Minh Trail traffic.
And it went longer than planned.
Oh, yeah. Supposed to be one day. Ended up being four brutal days.
So, as chase medic, he'd fly right into active firefights.
That was the job. He described extractions often involving hot LZs landing zones under active enemy fire, but they went in anyway.
And during Tailwind, there was a specific incident.
Right, they were using CH-53 Marine helicopters to pull out wounded guys. He mentioned Mike Rose being hoisted up. Rose later got the Medal of Honor for his actions on Tailwind.
Okay.
But just as they were trying to lift off, taking incredibly heavy fire, bang. A B-40 rocket hit them.
A B-40? That's like a shoulder-fired anti-tank weapon, right? Lethal to a helicopter, I imagine. We saw how devastating ground fire could be to bombers in Episode 4.
Exactly. It punched right through the belly of the CH-53, hit the gasoline tank. It's frankly amazing they didn't just explode.
What happened then?
Somehow, miraculously, they managed to limp another, maybe 5 to 10 kilometers, just flew it until they couldn't anymore, and crashed.
Crashed where?
Incredibly, right into what turned out to be an empty North Vietnamese fortification complex.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievably lucky it was empty at that moment.
And Paget had only been with SOG for a couple of months at this point.
Yeah, just a short time. Thrown right into the deep end, much like some of those fresh air crews we talked about in Episode 4, facing intense flak early in their tours. Just incredible pressure.
Wow. Okay, let's jump way forward now. Almost 3 decades. It's 1997.
Right. Paget's on a completely different kind of mission. He's in Kazakhstan. And this was significant. It was the first American military unit ever invited into Kazakhstan, this former Soviet republic.
Quite a change of scene.
Definitely. He described this really impressive ceremony. American soldiers, Cossack team, side by side. They played the Star Spangled Banner, raised the U.S. flag. A real symbol of how the world had shifted.
And amidst all this post-Cold War cooperation, something really improbable happened.
Utterly improbable. They were at a hospital complex, part of their mission, and there was this local event, a best nurse competition. Paget had an interpreter assigned to him, a young Cossack lieutenant, spoke English and Russian.
Okay.
This lieutenant spots the combat patch on Paget's right sleeve, the Special Forces patch.
And he asked about it.
He did. Asked if Paget served in Vietnam. Then specifically if he'd been in Laos.
And Paget says yes.
And then the lieutenant drops the bombshell. His father had been a Russian military advisor.
Okay.
An advisor to the North Vietnamese anti-aircraft artillery units in Laos. The exact units that were trying to shoot Paget down during Operation Tailwind.
No way, seriously.
Seriously, the son of the guy advising the Tripoli gunners who hit his helicopter.
That is absolutely mind-blowing. Talk about a small world. It kind of echoes those unexpected connections we found between former enemies after WWII in Episode 4, but this is just so direct.
It really is. Paget's reaction was just very, very small world, which feels like a massive understatement, right? It just highlights how interconnected things are, even across huge conflicts and decades, the human threads running through it all.
It really does. And he then mentions something else quite remarkable, didn't he? About ongoing connections.
Yeah, this is fascinating too. He talked about how U.S. Special Ops veterans guys from FOB-1, FOB-2, FOB-3, those SOG bases are actually interacting now with former North Vietnamese soldiers.
The very soldiers they were fighting against.
The very soldiers whose job it often was to hunt them down. These interactions are happening specifically within the framework of POW-MIA recovery missions.
How does that work?
Well, it's mutually beneficial, you see. The American vets know the operational areas where engagements happen, potential crash sites. The Vietnamese veterans, they might have information about where remains could be buried or located from their side.
So former enemies collaborating to bring soldiers home.
Exactly. Paget was clear. You know, there's no sudden love for the communists, as he put it. But there's this shared respect, recognizing each other as fellow soldiers who went through hell. And there's a common goal. Accounting for the missing. Again, that theme of shared humanity, like finding those missing airmen from Episode 4.
Did he mention any specific enemy units?
He did, yeah. The Binthan Regiment. They apparently specialized in tracking SOG teams. Used trackers, radio direction finding, even dogs. Highly skilled opponents.
And these meetings actually lead to results.
Absolutely.
Mm.
He talked about instances where survivors from both sides compared notes on a specific firefight, and that information directly led to recovering remains. He mentioned a recent recovery in Laos, a soldier named Forrest Forrest, as an example of this cooperation bearing fruit.
That's incredibly poignant, this shared duty transcending the conflict itself.
It really is. It's about closure, bringing people home. Then Paget also talked a bit about his time before SOG with the Mobile Strike Force. He drew a distinction there. Well, SOG recon teams, their main job was intel gathering, avoiding contact if possible. Mobile Strike Force, or Mike Force, they were different. They went looking for contact.
Their mission was offensive.
Yeah. Often inserting to reinforce camps that were under attack or to actively engage NVA or Viet Cong units they located. They were a reaction force, but a very aggressive one.
He shared an anecdote from that time.
A really dramatic one. They'd had a successful operation, actually overran an NVA artillery company, which is a big deal. But then, uh-oh, orders came down. Move immediately. B-40 B-52 strike incoming on their current position.
Close call.
Very. So they scramble and set up new positions on two parallel ridge lines with a small valley or draw between them.
And then?
The NVA hit them. They attacked the group on the eastern ridgeline first. Hard. Killed 8 guys.
Oh, man.
Then the NVA started moving soldiers down into that draw between the ridges, clearly trying to flank the second group, Paget's group, from the rear.
A terrible position to be in.
Desperate. But Paget, he managed to get a U.S. pilot on the radio, FM frequency, calling for air support right there, right now.
Close air support.
Extremely close. He basically asked the pilot to fly down into that narrow valley between the ridges.
That sounds incredibly risky for the pilot.
Hugely. But the pilot did it. Paget said he flew so low, his wingtips and canopy looked level with their position on the ridge, just came screaming through that little valley,
yeah.
Unleashed his 20-millimeter cannons, just devastated the NVA forces moving through the draw, completely broke up the flanking attack.
Yeah, it's kind of bacon.
Absolutely. Paget said he never forgot the pilot's panache as well as skill, just sheer brilliance and bravery. He tried to find out who the pilot was later, but never could. That kind of pinpoint air support, as we learned back in episode 4, was just crucial in these ground fights.
A lifesaver, literally. And, and finally, he clarified CCC.
Yeah, just to be clear for you listening, CCC stood for Command and Control Central. Back in 1970-71, when he was there, it was one of three main MACV SOG operational bases controlling missions into Laos and Cambodia along the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
What were the others?
There was CCN, Command and Control North, up near Phu Bai, and CCS, Command and Control South, down near Ban My Thuod. CCC is kind of in the middle, covering the central part of the trail regions in Laos and Cambodia.
Got it. Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, it's been quite a journey. We followed Doc Paget from deciding to join Special Forces, becoming a medic.
Right, through that absolutely harrowing experience being shot down during Operation Tailwind deep inside Laos.
And then, decades later, that just unbelievable chance encounter in Kazakhstan, meeting the son of the Russian advisor for the very AAA units that shot at him.
It's incredible. And beyond his personal story, we touched on these really surprising ongoing connections, former adversaries working together now on POW MIA recovery.
Yeah. Hopefully for you listening, those aha moments really hit home the sheer unlikeliness of that Kazakhstan meeting, the depth of those post-conflict connections, themes that, you know, echo across military history like we've seen before.
Exactly. Our goal, as always, was to pull out the most vital, the most compelling parts of Doc Paget's account for you, to give you a real sense of his experiences and what they tell us about that period, about SOG, and about the human side of conflict, very much like how those personal stories illuminated the bigger picture of the strategic bombing campaigns for us in episode 4.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Think about those enduring bonds, even the ones formed across battle lines. How is it that former enemies can find common ground, especially in something as profound as recovering the fallen? What does that tell us about our capacity, you know, for connection, for reconciliation, even after the most intense conflicts and losses? It's something powerful to consider.